The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Derek Frost from North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading the Triangle Business Journal. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And we start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with the cover story headline, Coffee with a Cause. Lindsay Rigi's entrepreneurial mission is workplace inclusivity, one employee at a time. And the article begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with the second headline, Not Just a Coffee Shop. And this is written by Kate Tracy. Most Americans wake up and enjoy a morning cup of joe, but Lindsay Rigi is not one of them. The energetic, fast-talking 26-year-old does not like the taste of coffee, preferring her daily caffeine fix to come from matcha, kombucha, or other teas instead. For a while, I really thought it was gross, Rigi says. Disliking the beverage is not all that remarkable, except for this. Rigi owns a coffee company. Rarer still is the fact that her company employs people with physical and intellectual disabilities. As 321 Coffee has grown from college experiment to full-fledged business with multiple coffee shops, there's also a great non-coffee menu, Rigi is quick to add, and distribution in more than 500 stores. So has Rigi's tolerance for and knowledge of the beverage she sells. Rigi's ability to taste coffee and provide an objective assessment of its excellence without letting personal taste preferences sway her is an asset to 321 Coffee, which is named in acknowledgement of the three copies of the 21st chromosome present in individuals with Down syndrome. My coffee tasting palate's actually pretty good, she says. Rigi wants to roast and serve exceptionally good coffee. That commitment has paid off as 321 Coffee's momentum gained steam in 2025 with a move to a new roasting facility in Raleigh that triples its weekly roasting capacity. 321 Coffee also landed on the shelves of the four Triangle locations of Wegmans, as well as in the break rooms of Fortune 100 company Cisco this year. But the work is still a grind, literally and figuratively. The cost of coffee beans has always been volatile due to farming, supply chain, and harvest-related issues. It's skyrocketed recently, with a pound of ground coffee rising 41% from $6.47 in October 2024 to $9.14 in September 2025, according to U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics data. Even Starbucks is shuttering locations nationwide amid the turbulent times. Yet local competition remains fierce as coffee chains like Dutch Bros have entered the Triangle market and grocery store shelves remain crowded. So why would Rigi risk it all and endure the hardships of selling a beverage she does not personally enjoy? The answer is simple. It's always been about so much more than coffee. Something's brewing. Rigi loves to praise her friends. She effortlessly launches into a story about Emma, who had just moved to the Triangle from the Netherlands when she befriended Rigi in third grade at Carey's Green Hope Elementary School. Emma is bilingual, Dutch and English, and has Down syndrome. Rigi was also new at Green Hope, and two other friends also befriended her when she felt alone and scared. Opportunities were abundant for Rigi coming out of high school. She could go to college, pick a major, study abroad, and work an exciting summer internship. Yet she realized the same was not true for her friends. In high school, Emma had landed a job at a local grocery store, which she held for multiple years. Rigi remembers encouraging her friend and telling her how proud she was of her work. Emma's response, "Thanks, but all they let me do is clean bathrooms." That comment set a fire ablaze in Rigi. Rigi, the daughter of two parents with careers in computer science, originally enrolled at NC State University to pursue biomedical engineering and become a doctor. She and her parents were excited. "Medicine was a lifelong dream of mine," she said. As dreams so often do, that changed for Rigi. As a freshman Park Scholar, a scholarship awarded to students for their accomplishments, service, leadership, and character, Rigi soon met Michael Evans, her future co-founder and fiancé. The pair set out to create better employment for Rigi's friends with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Rigi remembers calling her parents to tell them she dropped all her biomedical engineering classes in favor of entrepreneurship. Oh, and by the way, she told them she and her friends were selling coffee with a coffee maker they purchased from Target and a folding table they borrowed from Tally Student Union. "Didn't go well," she said with a laugh, but her and Evans' parents, although nervous at first, had been nothing but supportive, even from the beginning. One of the many lessons Rigi learned by starting a business at 18 and growing it through a pandemic was how to reframe risk. If you can be okay with that worst-case scenario and you can be inspired by the best-case scenario, then go do it, Rigi said. Louis Sheets, who has taught entrepreneurship for the past 25 years as former assistant vice provost for entrepreneurship at NC State, saw something different in freshmen Evans and Rigi. "They were unique in the aspect of not just talking about something, they wanted to do something even back then," said Sheets, who is now at St. Louis University. While it would have been easy to start a nonprofit and rely on donations from well-meaning people, Rigi and Evans wanted to be a profitable business, Sheets said. "If you look at other coffee shops like 321 around the country, most of them are set up as nonprofits. But Lindsay and Michael saw an opportunity to think bigger and a way to scale and be sustainable in doing so," Sheets said. From the very beginning, their goals didn't stop at being a coffee company that employs individuals with disabilities. The real magic has been the opportunities the business creates beyond coffee. Creating opportunities. Aaron, a 321 employee, wanted to start living more independently from his family. He moved into a new development in October on Hillsborough Street after the developers reached out to 321 to help circulate the opportunity among their employees. Now, Aaron knocks on 321's downtown windows at 6:40 a.m. as he walks from his apartment to his job at 321's cafe at the Pendo Tower. "I'm just so proud, so proud to know that we are a small part of him building this awesome life for himself that he loves," Rigi said. Whether it's negotiating housing or navigating public transportation and other adult responsibilities, 321 is poised to help their employees level up. Always looming over Rigi's head, the wait list. Approximately 700 potential employees are currently hoping to land a job at 321 Coffee. In North Carolina, only 35% of working-age individuals with disabilities, 720,000 people total, are employed, according to North Carolina Office of State Human Resources. 321 Coffee is not the only employer of individuals with disabilities in the area, with others that include the nonprofit Esteemed Coffee in Cary, nonprofit Hand-Me-Ups Thrift, and multiple grocery stores. However, success is not guaranteed, as seen with the closure of Howdy Homemade Ice Cream in Cary in 2024. "The majority of those people that we have to say no to, not because they can't do the job, it is just because we don't have 100 spots to fill. That sucks. It's hard, but it keeps us going," Rigi said. Anytime a company decides to carry 321 Coffee in its break rooms or open a cafe with 321 baristas or decides to employ people with disabilities themselves, that helps 321's mission of creating 1 million work hours. Rigi did not provide 2025 revenue. The silver lining for 321 is that it can avoid the pain that other retail and restaurant businesses have with finding qualified and dedicated employees. "Our retention is really strong," Rigi said. Rigi knows firsthand what it's like to underestimate her employees. When 321 Coffee first opened, employees weren't comfortable counting change for customers, so the team decided that managers would be responsible for operating the point of sale. Then one day, a volunteer manager couldn't make it to the shop. Rigi turned to one of her baristas and asked if she would want to operate the point of sale, which she did. She realized many of her employees were capable of doing that and wanting to learn. 321 employees all start above minimum wage and get tipped above that. 321 currently has approximately 60 employees. 321 Coffee has three locations in Raleigh, plus in-office cafes in Pendo and Relias. Its new roastery is powering bags of coffee for Food Lion, Wegmans, and Whole Foods, while corporate offices like Cisco, Lenovo, and Gensler all serve 321 Coffee in-house. December was a busy month for 321 Coffee's new roastery in Raleigh. There were gift orders to package and distribute, plus Wegmans and other wholesale orders to fulfill. At 321's cafe in Pendo's downtown Raleigh headquarters, Trish LaPaglia, Senior Director of Global Workplaces and Employee Experience at Pendo and a mentor of Rigi's, said 321's presence is impactful for people coming in for in-person interviews. The flip side of that is that when people leave, 321 is one of the things that they miss the most. They miss that daily interaction with the baristas, and they comment about it in their exit interviews, and they say it's one of the most memorable moments for them working for Pendo, LaPaglia said. LaPaglia sees one of Rigi's strengths as a leader being her cheerfulness. She is just remarkably positive and optimistic about the challenges that she faces, LaPaglia said. A bitter taste. Rigi and Evans face challenges that every business owner faces. In fact, their coffee shop in Durham closed because of what many business owners know all too well, low foot traffic. And without enough customers coming through the door, the baristas were having a hard time learning the job. There wasn't the skill building that was happening that we were seeing just because the repetition wasn't there from a foot traffic perspective, Rigi said. 321 retained 100% of its employees despite the Durham closure, opening the shop on NC State's campus instead. While Rigi was nervous to tell her employees about the closure, one of the first questions one of her employees was asked was, "Does this mean I can work at the downtown Raleigh shop and learn to ride the bus?" 321's challenges extend beyond shuttering coffee shops. Two 321 employees have died unexpectedly within the last 2 years, leading 321's leadership to call all 60 employees to break the tragic news to them. "No one talks about that. No one prepares you for that," Rigi said. When Renee Greco died in December, 321 closed all operations down and invited employees to come to the roastery to be together, color in coloring books, and listen to the Jonas Brothers, whom Greco loved. Greco's parents have decided to start a nonprofit in her honor that will help people with disabilities. When the employee known as Big Mike died last year, 321 gave a pair of big white glasses to wear in honor of him when 321 reopened. The business also donated all sales that Saturday to his family. "There's going to be space to be really hurt, and we want to make sure there's space to feel that and acknowledge that, but to also hold on to the powerful parts to move us forward and hold on to the legacy that they had on our team," Rigi said. Looking to the future. It's September 15, 2025, and Rigi is on stage in Manhattan at the Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts wearing her signature Inclusion is Cool bomber jacket. She's poised and articulate as she shares the story of 321 Coffee with 2,000 welcome conference attendees. She talks about her friends, the inspiration behind 321, and the modifications the coffee shop makes to accommodate its employees. For instance, when a manager saw that some employees were filling liquids all the way to the top of measuring cups instead of to a specific line, they bought smaller measuring cups, Rigi exclaims enthusiastically. Instead of deciding that these people couldn't do the job or would require constant supervision, they reimagined the system, she says. This minimized product waste, improved product quality, and was a huge step toward independence. When Aaron's name and photo displays on the screen behind Rigi, Aaron starts cheering and jumping up and down in the audience. The rest of the crowd joins in as Rigi smiles widely and laughs, saying, "So I'd like to introduce you to Aaron. Aaron has a lot of energy and praises him directly for his creative problem solving." Sheets, who has continued to stay close with Rigi and Evans following the NC State days, attended the event and witnessed the standing ovation Rigi received, a common occurrence after she talks as audiences respond to her enthusiasm and results. He then saw people lined up at the 321 coffee stand and waited patiently to get their turn to interact with Rigi and her team of baristas who came to support her. "It's bigger than just the company, and her impact is across the country in terms of having people look differently on who can be and should be employed inside of our companies," Sheet said. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings, written by Dane Huffman. The first headline, Repogl leaves impressive mark, and it's spelled R-E-P-L-O-G-L-E. Corporate exec is selling his Raleigh home but plans to remain involved in the Triangle. With a degree from Dartmouth College and an MBA from Harvard University, John Repogl was on a mission. That is, until the mission changed. Repogl once recalled how he had a great job as president of Guinness Bass Import Company and a personal mission statement. But one moment in his car and a look at his daughters put him on a different path. I saw those eyes staring back at me, and I realized that everything I was doing was about me, not about my girls and their lives and world, he told a Dartmouth News outlet. And so he changed. He moved to Unilever and then to Burt's Bees, a move that launched a long stay in the Triangle. Rapogel went on to be the CEO of Seventh Generation and then the co-founder of One Better Ventures, where he and Jim Geike were key advocates for startups with big ideas and big dreams. Now Rapogel is winding down his time in the Triangle. He and his wife have a home in Hanover, New Hampshire, which is the home of Dartmouth. Rapogel said two of his four daughters are living in Manhattan now, and another is in graduate school at Dartmouth, so being closer to them makes sense. The change, too, comes after the shocking death of Geike in March. Raleigh is still part of our home, but my business interests wound down with One Better Ventures with the passing of my partner, he said. Rapogel has listed his home on Drummond Drive inside the Beltline for $4.75 million, but insisted he isn't done with the Triangle just yet. He is the chairman of the recently launched Alubri, spelled A-L-U-B-R-I. Mariah Eckert, another Burt's Bees veteran, is the CEO of the company, which focuses on women's health products. That will continue to be Raleigh-based, he said. We have taken an office downtown, so I'll be spending a lot of time in Raleigh. Sheetz opens again in Triangle. If you think Sheetz seems to be popping up all over, you are right. The convenience chain and restaurant opened its new store in Northeast Raleigh at 2825 Forestville Road on January 15. Sheetz now has about 140 stores across North Carolina. It operates a total of more than 800 stores across seven states. It also continues to move out-of-state brands into the growing market as others, such as Wawa, look to get a piece of the growing Triangle. Pilates Studio is now open in North Hills. A new place to stretch has now opened in Raleigh. Jet Set Pilates, a modern reformer Pilates franchise offering full-body workouts, opened a studio in North Hills. Owned by Katie Myers and Renee Aquilino, the studio opened January 10. This location marks its third Triangle location. Myers and Aquilino opened their first studio in Raleigh's Smoky Hollow last fall, followed by Holly Springs in October. The 2,790-square-foot North Hill studio features 16 custom reformers and offers 50-minute high-end classes combining strength, cardio, and Pilates-inspired movements. New wealth management firm launches. A well-known financial advisor and two experienced partners have launched a new firm in the competitive wealth industry space in Raleigh. Rob Ragsdale, Mark Passioni, and Larry Moy have started EQV Advisory. Ragsdale previously led the North Carolina office for Ballantyne, while Passioni is the former chief investment officer of Curry Capital, and Moy is a former partner at Womble Bond Dickinson. Ragsdale said the goal is to provide tailored solutions for clients with complex needs. The firm said in a news release that it quickly reached $100 million in assets under management and has continued to build on that. And finally, Raleigh accounting firm grows yet again. The streak continues for a Raleigh accounting firm that's hungry for expansion. Cherry Beckert has made its first acquisition of the new year by purchasing Tarsus, an accounting and advisory firm based in Washington, D.C. The firm provides accounting, bookkeeping, compliance, and other services to a wide variety of clients in healthcare, manufacturing, tech, and professional services. Tarsus has more than 150 employees globally, according to its website. It manages more than $500 million for 1,000-plus clients. In addition to its D.C. headquarters, Tarsus also has offices in Missouri, California, and India. Cherry Beckert's headcount was approximately 2,800 employees in October. Fueled by private equity firm Parthenon Capital investing in the firm in 2022, Cherry Beckert has been growing at a fast pace through acquisitions. The firm acquired six companies in 2023, two in 2024, and three in 2025. And now we turn to the top news stories in the Triangle Business Journal. The first one, written by David Pertell. Raleigh Development sold to joint venture. Block 83 acquired in a deal expected to be worth around $210 million. A premier development in downtown Raleigh has been sold, but the price is more than $100 million below what it was just 4 years ago. A joint venture between the North Carolina Investment Authority, a new entity created last year to manage the state pension system, and Highwoods Properties of Raleigh acquired the two-tower Block 83 development in Glenwood South. The joint venture's total investment is expected to be $210.5 million, Highwoods said in a release January 12. In 2021, City Office REIT of Canada acquired Block 83 for $330 million from the lead developer on the project, Heritage Properties of Maryland. The development also includes a parking deck, which was part of the 2021 sale and is also part of the deal announced on January 12, Wake County deed records show. Highwood said its initial stake in the investment is 10% with the option to increase it to 50%. The North Carolina Investment Authority owns 90%. Block 83 includes One Glenwood and Tower 2, both 10 stories at the corner of Hillsborough Street and Glenwood Avenue. The development is 97% leased, according to Highwoods. Highwoods also said it is part of a joint venture that has acquired an office development in Dallas called The Terraces for $109 million. In a statement, Highwoods CEO Ted Klink said, Block 83 is a property we have followed closely since it was first developed. Located in Raleigh's CBD and just a few blocks from our corporate headquarters, Block 83 is an excellent strategic fit within our portfolio. The North Carolina Pension Fund is no stranger to real estate investments as it owns the Apex land chosen for the state's first freestanding children's hospital. Highwoods describes the North Carolina Investment Authority, essentially the investment arm of the state treasurer's office, as a new strategic investment partner. New 10-story One North Hills office tower now at full occupancy. Lee said One North Hills is more evidence firms want amenities, and this is written by Kaylee Thompson. Kane Realty Corporation has filled its new 10-story office tower in North Hills, One North Hills, which was, which was completed in 2024 as part of the Main Street Main District expansion, is 100% leased with a recent lease signed by RSM US LLP for the full office space on the second floor. The office suite was the last remaining available space in the tower. RSM US, an audit, tax, and consulting firm that's part of RSM International based in London, will occupy 18,000 square feet. RSM will relocate its local office from the Wade Office Park in West Raleigh to North Hills. Its new office will offer workstations, collaboration areas, a kitchen, and break area, and an outdoor terrace, according to a press release from Kane Realty. The build-out is valued at $2.1 million per City of Raleigh permit records. This new space supports our growth and enhances the experience we deliver to clients. With the strength of a global network in over 120 countries, we remain committed to combining local insight with world-class capabilities, said Jackie Prilliman, RSM's Raleigh office leader, in the statement. Catherine Lawn of Cushman & Wakefield represented RSM in the lease transaction. Hooker Manning and Alex Michaels with Kane Realty represented the landlord. RSM joins private jet company Fly Exclusive and private equity firm QHP Capital as companies that have recently signed leases for full floors at One North Hills, which has 264,000 square feet of space. Kane Realty filling the building amid the soft office market is more evidence that companies want to be in high-quality office buildings that offer a variety of amenities. In the second half of 2025, the region's office vacancy rate was above 20% when including available sublease space. Vulcan to invest millions in Benson. This is written by Lauren Onasorge. In a matter of months, a three-year-old company could be operating the world's largest rare earth magnet factory outside of China, right here in North Carolina, producing components for electric vehicles and weapons of war. Vulcan Elements has an ambitious plan, but more notably, it has the backing of the U.S. government in the form of hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars. In November, the Durham-based company secured a $620 million loan from the Pentagon's Office of Strategic Capital, the largest loan the department has ever made. Vulcan followed that financing with a major announcement. It would launch a 1,000-job factory in a town with just a few thousand people. But can Vulcan deliver on its promise in Benson? It's all about execution, said CEO John Maslin. Vulcan plans to invest $918 million into the Benson plant at the Cross Point Logistics Center near Interstate 95, just east of town. Maslin must build a first-class workforce in Benson and quickly, while scaling complex manufacturing technologies that are virtually non-existent in the U.S. And finally, Kerry land deal signals more growth ahead in booming area. This is written by Zach Ezone. Duke Health has purchased more land in West Kerry as it grows its presence in Wake County. The health system in November acquired two parcels totaling about 35 acres near its medical campus off Green Level West Road, west of Highway 540. Duke paid a combined $15.6 million for the properties, according to Wake County deed records. The transactions include a 25.3-acre parcel at 3320 Green Level West Road, and a 10-acre parcel at 3300 Green Level West Road. Duke paid $9.13 million and $6.47 million, respectively, for the properties. Duke acquired the land from Green Level West 2 LLC and Green Level West 1 Apartments LLC. Both entities listed executives with Bell Canto Asset Growth Fund of Pennsylvania as company officials in North Carolina Secretary of State filings. The health system in 2016 began acquiring land for the campus. Duke is in the process of adding a facility to the campus that will include a freestanding emergency department, ambulatory surgery center, specialty clinics, outpatient imaging services, and a cancer infusion center. Duke expects the facility to open in the spring of 2027, according to public filings. The long-term plan includes an inpatient hospital facility that could open in 2029 or 2030, according to bond filings. Duke has approval from regulators for 40 beds at the campus. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the reporter pages, beginning with Kate Tracy's page, Retail and Restaurants. Sauna House looks to launch soon. Asheville Concept will come to Raleigh with new Boylan Heights location. Sauna House is preparing to open in mid-February in an 8,500-square-foot former warehouse at 324 DuPont Circle on the edge of Boylan Heights. The move will bring more transformation to a rapidly changing area. It's the largest location for the fast-growing bathhouse franchise based in Asheville. The people are pumped, obviously. It's so unique to Raleigh, even in the bathhouse contrast therapy scene, said James Grogan, who's opening the venue alongside his wife, Katie Brotherton. While sauna and cold plunge venues are popping up across the triangle, Sauna House will provide a more communal atmosphere. Drop-in visits cost $50, while founding memberships range from $119 to $299 per month, according to Sauna House's website. The build-out has cost more than $4 million, but construction has been relatively smooth considering the complicated pool infrastructure. Upon checking in, customers can change into bathing suits and changing rooms and store belongings in lockers before using one of the facility's five showers. After spending 15 minutes in the sauna, clients will migrate to one of the two cold plunges and lower themselves in 45-degree and 50-degree water for up to 3 minutes to get maximum muscle recovery and other health benefits. Between the hot and cold cycles, Sauna House offers ways to stay relaxed. The venue has a sunken area or conversation pit with cushioned seating. Sauna House will have heated furniture from the brand Gallanter and Jones for warming up. The sauna is the hottest part of the facility here, and then the cold plunges are on the other end of the spectrum, and this should be right smack dab in the middle, Grogan said. Sauna House will offer massage services at its Raleigh location, a decision the company made to be more like a spa. Taco Rus eyes Zebulon location. Taco Rus, the taco spinoff of North Carolina fast food chain Cookout, is eyeing its next outpost in the Triangle. The restaurant is looking to open a location in Zebulon at 1206 North Arendelle Avenue, according to Wake County permits. The 1,158-square-foot space used to be home to hot dog restaurant Hillbillies. Taco Rus lists two locations on its website, one in Thomasville, where Cookout is based, and another in Wilmington. The Thomasville location is operational, but the Wilmington location appears to be operating as a cookout now, as does another proposed Taco Rus location on New Bern Avenue in Raleigh. Cookout did not respond for comment on its Zebulon plans. Cookout purchased the property in 2021 for more than $1 million, according to deed records. Zebulon, the easternmost town in Wake County, has a population of about 7,000. Taco Rus is planning extensive renovations to the building with a permit application showing the work is valued at $575,000 and would be done by Dotson & Company Construction. The menu at Taco Rus is simple and affordable with nothing costing more than $4. The ground beef, chicken, fish, or shrimp tacos cost $2.99, that's $2.99 or $3.99. Burritos are $1.99, and quesadillas are $2.99. In North Raleigh, a Brazilian steakhouse coming to mall. A Brazilian steakhouse is coming to Triangle Town Center. Patrick Emmer Reingantz is bringing Brazilian cuisine to the shopping center in Raleigh. The 33-year-old restaurateur plans to open Che Gaucho Brazilian Steakhouse at 3741 Sumner Boulevard, Suite 150, in the former Champs restaurant and bar space in the next 3 to 4 months. Reingantz chose the location due to growth in Northeast Raleigh and ample parking. It is growing a lot there, and I don't think it would be a problem for us to grow there, he said. Triangle Town Center was sold in late 2024 to Summit Properties USA, a subsidiary of UK-based Summit Properties Limited. Emmer Reingantz signed a 12-year lease for the 10,000-square-foot space, which seats about 350 guests. The restaurant will employ between 30 and 35 people. Servers will carve 17 cuts of meat tableside, including pork, lamb, beef, and seafood. Che Gaucho will also offer a salad bar. And finally, Macy's to shutter Triangle Town Center store. Macy's Incorporated plans to close its department store at Triangle Town Center in Raleigh, leaving two remaining stores in the area. The closure is part of the New York company's decision to shutter 14 stores this year, following 66 closures last year. In early 2024, Macy's said it aimed to trim its store count by 150, leaving the company with about 350 locations. A post on the company's website said the Triangle Town Center location is closing soon. Located at 3801 Sumner Boulevard, Macy's is one of several retail anchors at the mall, along with Dillard's, Belk, and Saks Fifth Avenue. Macy's other Triangle locations are at Crabtree Valley Mall in Raleigh and the streets at South Point in Durham. And now we turn to the real estate and development page written by Kaylee Thompson. Custom homes to land in West Cary. Homes will exceed 3,500 square feet in a desirable area, a fast-growing town. Large custom homes are planned in West Cary as the desirable area continues to fill in with development. Elm Street Builders of Cary has filed a site plan with the town for Ashbourne Manors, which will have 6 custom homes along High House Road between Highway 55 and Davis Drive. Chris Weir, owner and president of Elm Street Builders, said the homes will be at least 3,500 square feet and 3 will have basements. The lots range from 6,312 square feet to 9,433. The site plans show there will be a 900 square foot community gathering outdoor space. Weir said prices will be dictated by the market. Prices will also be dependent on what types of features home buyers choose. Pre-sales will start once the lots are fully developed, which Weir anticipates will happen by the end of 2026. Custom homes take about a year to build from design to completion. Weir said it typically takes about 3 months of planning with the customer, then 9 months to build the home. Ashbourne Manors will be similar to the home builders Colby Crossing community in Apex, as it's the same architect. Custom homes at Colby Crossing start at $900,000 and are around 3,600 square feet. One of the 14 home sites at Colby Crossing, only 4 remain available for sale. The Ashbourne Manors homes will be at 2324 High House Road, which the home builder acquired in June 2025 for $1 million per Wake County property records. The 2.87-acre site has a single-family home on it that will be demolished. The property is assessed at $626,985. The property is surrounded by single-family neighborhoods. Cary remains a popular locale for home buyers as the town continues to grow rapidly. Single-family homes in the town had a median sales price of $650,000 in December, according to Dorify MLS. Cary investors buy Raleigh office building. An office building just outside the Beltline in Northeast Raleigh is under new ownership. 3 LLCs that list the address of Cary-based Blue Ridge Capital Fund acquired a 10-story office building for $20.5 million from Truist Bank, according to Wake County deed records. The sale price is millions below the property's assessed value, $28.5 million, and its 2017 sale price of $33.7 million. The 188,510-square-foot building is on 7.5 acres at 3200 Beechleaf Court. Blue Ridge Capital Fund in 2024 acquired McGregor Village in Cary for $30 million in a joint venture with AB&B Commercial Real Estate, also of Cary. Both groups are investment firms led by dentists and real estate professionals in the region. BB&T, now Truist, bought 3200 Beechleaf from Highwoods Properties in 2017. Highwoods developed the office building in 1991 and renovated it in 2013. It has a fitness center, showers, and balconies. Truffles Deli is also a tenant in the building. The building is 73% leased. The North Carolina Department of Insurance occupies 124,847 square feet on multiple floors through a lease signed in 2023. Amid the soft office market, multiple office buildings around the region have sold at prices well below their assessed value or previous sale prices. Triangle sees jump in sales of luxury homes. Sales of million-dollar homes have been skyrocketing in the Triangle as wealthy individuals pour into the region. The market has seen a surge in custom-built high-end homes, while at the same time, rising prices mean many homes that were selling in the six-figure range just a few years ago are now priced above $1 million. In 2025, more than 2,500 resale homes priced $800,000 and above were sold in the Triangle, according to the Triangle Area Residential Realty, or TARR, report from residential real estate analyst Stacy Anfinson. Nearly 50% of total resale home sales for the year were priced at $1 million or higher, the report says. When it comes to new construction homes priced above $1 million, about 450 were sold last year, according to Bo Bromhall, real estate agent with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, York Simpson Underwood. In 2024, the number was 427. And finally, rental homes pitched for South Raleigh location. More townhomes could be on tap for a property across from the former Greyhound bus facility in South Raleigh. Blue Wave Developers has filed a preliminary site plan with the city for 20 townhomes on South Blount Street. Blue Wave's project would be rental townhomes, according to the developer's website. Across the road is a townhome-style condo project, The Gray, where only three of 100 units remain available for sale. Home prices in the community start at $500,000. Blue Wave's site plan shows there would be four three-story buildings with private rooftop decks. The townhomes would be 2,100 square feet with two bedrooms, two and a half baths, and garages. The community would include a dog park and community picnic area. And now we turn to the transportation and finance page written by Lauren Onasorge. Federal funding uncertainty looms. Grant jeopardy threatens growth for emerging startups such as NALA Membranes. A Triangle startup is gearing up to open a manufacturing operation that could change the way water is purified in the U.S. and around the globe. But the federal grant program that got the company to this point is now in jeopardy. NALA Membranes, a Morrisville firm that develops complex membranes for advanced water treatment systems, is about to go public in a big way through a local manufacturing facility that could produce commercial-sized membranes. I don't know how we could have even started, said Sue Meacham, pondering what would have happened without the Small Business Innovation Research Program, often called America's Seed Fund. Meacham and her mother, Judy Riffle, co-founded NALA Membranes, which took advantage of the non-dilutive source of capital. From 2021 to 2023, North Carolina averaged $151 million a year from more than 200 awards through SBIR and its sister program, the Small Business Technology Transfer Program. But SBIR and STTR, administered by the Small Business Administration, failed to win reauthorization last year. The most recent bill to reauthorize the grant has drawn little attention in Congress. NALA Membranes completed its Phase 2B SBIR grant last year through the National Science Foundation. While there were some ups and downs in securing capital amid uncertainty caused by government shutdowns, the company finished the award, unlike some startup peers now reeling without SBIR as an option in 2026. That's devastating for these companies that had things already approved, Meacham said. Altogether, NAL Membranes has secured about $2 million through SBIR since 2019. The company is now attracting significant interest from traditional investors. Merger not expected to impact RDU operations. A planned merger of low-cost airlines is expected to have minimal impact at Raleigh-Durham International Airport in the short term. Allegiant and Sun Country announced a $1.5 billion cash and stock combination recently. Only Sun Country currently serves RDU, offering a nonstop flight to Minneapolis. The airline boarded just under 23,000 passengers through November. A bigger airline created by the combination of Allegiant and Sun Country could eventually present stiffer competition, including for RDU's most prolific carrier by nonstop routes, Breeze Airways. Airline mergers are often done to create a larger, more competitive combined company that is more capable of entering more markets, said Mike Walden, economist with NC State University. Brett Snyder, founder of Cranky Flyer, doesn't expect a bigger Allegiant to make a major play for RDU. Allegiant generally looks for markets where it doesn't have competition, and Breeze's rapid growth in RDU takes away some of the more attractive options anyway, he said in an email. Allegiant launched nonstop flights at RDU in 2015, focusing on Florida destinations with fares as low as $44 one way. But the strategy failed to gain traction, and Allegiant exited RDU in 2022. New construction underway at RDU at Terminal 2. Crews have installed a temporary wall in the ticketing area of Terminal 2 as part of a terminal expansion project. The plan is to expand the building by 400 feet to the north over the next 2 years, which requires knocking out a glass window. The expansion will allow for more security checkpoints and ticketing space to support growing passenger numbers. When complete, there will be another ticketing island and an additional baggage claim carousel. The biggest change for travelers might be to the south, where a new security checkpoint is being planned that will basically double the current 13-lane checkpoint. The terminal expansion is one of multiple projects in the airport's $2.5 billion capital budget, which also includes ongoing construction of a new international runway. Adding more gates to Terminal 2 can't take place until the runway project is complete due to space restrictions. And finally, NC optimistic about jobs pipeline for 2026. As the calendar flips to a new year, North Carolina's economic development pitch is in full swing. For Christopher Chung, CEO of the Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina, the year started off with client visits as executives from companies considering the state for relocations and expansions flew in for pitches. Folks aren't really waiting long after the holidays, Chung said. This can always be a busy time of year, especially if people are already feeling behind the eight ball. Chung is optimistic that 2026 will mean continued success. His team started the year with 233 projects in the pipeline, representing the potential for 59,000 new jobs and $43 billion in investments. And our last reporter page for today is the Greater Triangle page, written by Ben Tobin. Groups sue town over Chatham Park. Lawsuit challenges approval of small area plan for South Village. Three environmental advocacy groups have sued the town of Pittsboro over approval of a development plan for nearly 5,000 acres of Chatham Park's South Village. Haw River Assembly, Chatham Climate Action Network, and Seven Directions of Service filed the lawsuit in Chatham County Superior Court, claiming the Board of Commissioners' approval of a small area plan for the South Village strips away political accountability, leaving residents without a voice in future decisions. The result is the approval of the largest development in North Carolina history without the information, oversight, or public participation the law requires, the lawsuit says. Chatham Park co-founders Bubba Rawl and Tim Smith are not named as defendants and did not respond to requests for comment. We understand there is public interest in this matter, Pittsboro spokeswoman Caitlin Murphy said in an emailed statement. However, because it is the subject of ongoing litigation, the town is limited in what it can say at this time. Pittsboro is committed to transparency, fairness, and responsible stewardship, and we trust the legal process to resolve this appropriately. The 8,500-acre Chatham Park will include 27,000 homes for 75,000 residents. Last year, Story Living by Disney broke ground on its Asteria community, and several sections began moving from planning to reality. That progress has occurred in Chatham Park's North Village. The South Village, the lawsuit's focus, remains undeveloped. The Board of Commissioners voted 3-2 in November to approve the South Village Small Area Plan, allowing Preston Development to consolidate 16 sections into a single group for future development. The Pittsboro Planning Board had unanimously recommended denial. The plaintiffs argue that development of Chatham Park is supposed to proceed through genuinely small section-specific plans adopted over time, so impacts can be studied, debated, and addressed in public through legislative action. In Granville County, gas stations remain a hot commodity as one nets $1.75 million. Million-dollar gas station deals are becoming increasingly common in the Triangle's Halo communities. A Speedway gas station at 821 MLK Jr. Avenue, Highway 96, just outside downtown Oxford in Granville County, sold for a little more than $1.75 million late last month, according to deed records. The buyer is Nagood, spelled N-A-G-O-D, Ventures, a South Carolina-based LLC registered to a Vinay Patel, according to North Carolina Secretary of State filings. The seller is BCSNC Fund Propco, a Houston-based LLC that shares an address with real estate firm BCS Capital Group, according to Secretary of State filings. The LLC purchased the gas station, which property records show was built in 1998, in December 2022 for $848,000. Nagood Ventures representatives could not be reached for comment. Gas stations and convenience stores throughout the region have been selling at a premium due to rapid growth in and around the Triangle. The location of this Speedway station is prime, situated right off Interstate 85 at the main exit into town. Gas stations have drawn big prices. In October, a Maryland investor bought a Greenville 7-Eleven for close to $7.2 million. And finally, in Pitt County, New York firm buys Greenville facility. An LLC, MHC 370 of Greenville, purchased the CubeSmart self-storage facility at 2020 B. Stokes Road in Greenville for a little more than $6.6 million last month, according to Pitt County deed records. The property sits on close to 15 acres southeast of downtown Greenville. MHC 370 lists Liz Ron Schlesinger, founder and CEO of New York investment firm Merritt Hill Capital, as a member, according to North Carolina Secretary of State filings. The seller, NSA Property Holdings, purchased the property for a little under $4.9 million in 2021, per deed records. That entity shares an address with Colorado-based National Storage Affiliates Trust. Representatives of Merritt Hill Capital did not respond to requests seeking comment. The company describes itself on its website as a leading institutional self-storage investor with close to 400 properties spread across 38 states. Self-storage investments have been on the rise. As of November, the self-storage sector's transaction volume had reached nearly $6 billion for 2025, exceeding 2024's full-year total, according to Yardi Matrix, a real estate market intelligence group. Through November 21, close to 700 storage properties had changed hands in 2025 at an average price of $145 per square foot. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the Executive Voice Q&A column. This one focuses on Tina Piccioni. And in a closer look, title, Secretary and State Chief Information Officer, Education, Bachelor's, Georgia State University, Masters, George Washington University, previous employers, AT&T, Google, RTI International, Fidelity Investments, family, married, two daughters, top priorities, technology procurement and modernization, broadband access. Tina Piccioni says she's ready to run state government at the speed of business. The former Google, AT&T, and RTI International executive currently serves as North Carolina's Chief Information Officer and Secretary of the North Carolina Department of Information Technology, stepping into the role in January 2025 as part of Governor Josh Stein's cabinet. Piccioni oversees all IT, artificial intelligence, cybersecurity projects, and more across the state. And she said she wants to ensure that North Carolinians are getting the best product possible. I keep telling people the amount of influence and span that you have here is greater than anything you could ever do in the private sector, Piccioni said. And we better be serving well, as if no one before us or after us can do any better than what we're doing right here, because every North Carolinian depends on us. What are some lessons you've taken from the private sector? I didn't expect a couple of things. One was the pace of government. In the private sector, in order to be on top, you have to be fast. You have to have a speed that is going to basically ensure that you're ahead of all your competitors. When you come into the government, they don't think that way, though I do. I'm thinking I want to be number one against all 50 states. Also in the private sector, there's a focus on continuous improvement. It's the transparency. It's the metrics. It's a very data-driven industry, because you live and die by how you serve every quarter. So I'm trying to bring that here, because we should have the same mindset. How do you work across a variety of governing bodies? We are the one single thread agency that cuts across all other agencies, meaning technology is in everything. Whether it's broadband, whether it's AI, whether it's just connectivity across, it is a single thing that threads all of North Carolina together. With communicating, you have to be able to meet people where they are, because people are going to have a different understanding or framework or lens based on where they sit. So, for example, you've got senators that are coming from all over the state. And they are farmers, or they are lawyers, or they are physicians. They operate from a different framework than where I'm sitting. So I've had to learn their language to be able to be that interpreter as to why it's important to them. What are your priorities with modernizing technology? Procurement is at the top since I started. Not only did every vendor give me the grace of explaining how they hated our procurement, but every cabinet member explained how they hated procurement. So an RFP went from 256 days on average to 62 days. So that was a huge reduction, and we're just getting started. My goal is 45 days. I called it my big audacious goal, and they looked at me and they all told me I was crazy and it couldn't be done. And I'm like, it can be. We just have to think differently, and we have to bring in some automation, and we have to look at some different tools. Why is increasing high-speed internet access important? I assumed everyone would have access, but that wasn't the case. Literally, people don't have connectivity available to be able to make that connection. So if you think about it, we're giving them access to education. We're literally changing their lives by allowing them to be able to be educated in things they don't know, or in things they need to be able to do to do the jobs they have. We're giving them access to 911 for emergency situations. I am now the biggest proponent for broadband in probably the nation, because when you look at North Carolina, we just don't have that same connectivity across the state. And this was written by Ben Tobin. And with our remaining time with the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to Project Life, Executive Health and Worker Wellness in the Triangle. About this project, Project Life exists to shed light on executive health and worker wellness. The series includes regular articles on worker stress, work anxiety, depression, and addiction-related issues that creep into the workplace, and personality features from executives that are on the forefront of this fight for better health in our workplaces. And this is written by Connie Gentry. A path to lower insurance costs. A new health coverage option aims to make insurance more affordable and accessible for North Carolina's small business. Access to health care hinges on affordability, which for most people is determined by health insurance. Still, the cost of health care in the United States is beyond the reach of many, even though 154 million people under the age of 65 are covered by employer-sponsored health insurance, according to health policy organization KFF. The divining rod is often the size of the organization where a person works. Almost every company with 200 or more employees, 97%, offer health benefits to at least some of their workers, as do 59% of companies with 10 to 199 employees, reported KFF. And in North Carolina, where small businesses dominate the landscape, 44% of workers, roughly 1.8 million people, work in a small business that has fewer than 500 employees, per the Small Business Administration. But more than 80% are working in an enterprise without employees, 15% are working in businesses with up to 19 employees, and only 2% are in businesses with 20 to 499 employees. It's a microcosm of the nationwide healthcare benefits crisis, and one that the North Carolina Chamber, in partnership with Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, is tackling through the recently launched Carolina Health Works Initiative. Any small business that has headquarters in North Carolina, employs between 2 and 50 people, and is a member of either the NC Chamber or one of the participating 108 local chambers may be eligible to participate in Carolina Health Works. As a multiple employer welfare arrangement, or MEWA, licensed by the NC Department of Insurance, Carolina Health Works positions small businesses to obtain health coverage for their employees through Blue Cross NC in basically the same way as large organizations. Unlike traditional MEWA opportunities that are typically tied to industry-specific trade or professional associations, Carolina Health Works is industry agnostic, meaning it's as accessible for farmers as for manufacturers, for mom-and-pop restaurants, local boutiques, churches, and other small business operations. David Baum appreciates this initiative on many levels, not only as the executive director of the Apex Chamber of Commerce, where he's been explaining the opportunity to many of his members, but also as a consumer who saw his own cost for health insurance drop by a third when he transitioned to the Blue Cross NC plan the chamber now has through HealthWorks. One of the top questions we get asked by members and prospective members is about health insurance. Where can they turn for help, said Baum. Costs are rising through the roof, and until Carolina Health Works, there were very limited options. The chamber itself is a small business with 2 full-time staff members who are eligible for insurance and 3 part-time staff members who are not eligible. On our health insurance plan for the chamber, we saw a 33% savings in the insurance premium. With a population that has topped 80,000, Apex is rapidly rising beyond the perception of small-town bedroom community, and Baum expects it will soon crest the 100,000 mark to rank among the state's 10 largest cities. The chamber mirrors this trajectory with a membership that numbers more than 500. 3/4 of those members are small businesses of 10 employees or less, he said, which means they essentially fall into the HealthWorks sweet spot. However, each member must go through an application process with Blue Cross NC and request a quote for coverage plans. It's not a fit for every business, Baum added. I have not polled our group specifically to know exactly where they stand, but just talking in general terms, some quotes are coming back higher than they were paying, and some quotes are coming back with savings similar to us. And we'll stop there as the article goes on to mention the plan is still new, started November 1st, and about 35% of the people getting quotes have found better prices so far. Today's program is underwritten by Highwoods Properties. With its headquarters in Raleigh, North Carolina, Highwoods, a real estate investment trust, is committed to making our communities better places to live and work. Highwoods can be reached at 866-449-6637. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Triangle Business Journal. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.